This is the High School Football America podcast for May the 3rd, 2024. I'm Jeff Fisher. The High School Football America podcast is brought to you by GameStrat, America's premier sideline instant replay system with outstanding reliability. It has faster speed than Huddle Sideline, plus GameStrat has awesome customer service. They also have different plans priced right for every coach's budget. And if you mention High School Football America, you will get a friends and family discount. Texas High School Football coaches, you can now use video during the games, up in the booth, in the locker room at halftime. You need to check out GameStrat. Check them out right now by going to GameStrat.com to get a demo, or you can click on the GameStrat banner ad that's located on every page of HighSchoolFootballAmerica.com. Heading to South Dakota on Championship Chat here on the High School Football America podcast. I think it's been about 12 years since we've been into the state, but today we've got a guy that's gotten it done in a big way in the state capital here, T.F. Riggs High School. Seven straight state championships. Yes, I didn't misspeak there. Seven straight, and Steve Steele has done a wonderful job. Going to talk to him about his program and then a big honor he got. He's going to jet all the way to Tampa Bay, the Buccaneers, doing their inaugural coaching academy. He's been selected for that. That's a pretty exclusive club. But Coach is on the line right now. We're going to first start talking about his own football team. Coach, thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, appreciate you having me on. Love the work you guys do and excited to get to share today.
Well, thank you very much for those kind words, and we're excited to promote what you're doing there. I mean, seven straight state championships is great, but you know, we've got a large swath of people that we talk to. Not everybody familiar with Pierce, South Dakota, so I'm going to have you put on your ambassador hat a little bit before we play football talk and have you talk a little bit about where Pierce is. I know it's a state capital. I think it's the second smallest state capital, if research serves me correctly in my brain right now, but talk a little bit about the community and how high school football fits into the community there.
Yeah, I mean, this is truly a special place, you know, and we moved here 8 years ago, kind of just looking for that first head coaching opportunity. It's dead center in the state of South Dakota. We're 3 hours from everything. So, I mean, that's one of the unique parts is where our nearest game is, if it's a short trip, is 2 hours. Our longest is four. So all of our games are, there's not a close one, but there's not a far one, depending on your relativity, I guess, in that sense. But it's a beautiful community. You know, we're right sitting in a valley, hills on both sides of the city, and, you know, the river, Missouri River, runs right through town. It's just a beautiful place to call home, and it's the only show in town. You know, I think that's a very unique thing about our whole state of South Dakota is, I mean, it's, you know, obviously we don't have pro teams. We've got the Jackrabbits and the Coyotes, you know, in the Missouri Valley football for FCS that, you know, SDSU's been on a great couple years here as well. But there's not a lot, and it's one of those special places that the whole community comes out every Friday to watch high school football, and it means a lot here. So that's what's really been exciting coming to Pierce and you know, being in South Dakota, is just seeing, you know, it is a big deal to everybody here, and it's a community team and a lot of community pride.
That sounds like an awesome place to be on a Friday night. Nice job, Coach. You should be head of the Chamber of Commerce. But let's get to some real football right now. You said you haven't been there that long, right? Seven championships in 8 years. I mean, that ain't bad. I mean, to use some poor English, that ain't bad at all. Tell me about the foundation you built when you got there, or was there something pretty good already in place? How did you do it to get to the point where you can roll seven straight?
Yeah, I mean, this wasn't a place that was bad. It wasn't broken before. It did not have a history. Historically, it's not a really successful school, but it's also not been a bad school. You know, it's been the one that has had some good years, but it never, you know, sustained that long term. And you know, this community is so incredibly supportive. There's so many people here that just want to be a part of something special, and that's really made this process go so much better and so much faster than you ever could have imagined. I mean, you know, 8 years ago, we didn't come here thinking we were going to do what we've done. We just wanted to make the biggest difference we could right away, and hopefully, you know, have kids continue to grow and enjoy the sport and really grow to love it. And You know, I think we've done a pretty good job of that part of it, and the winning is just a byproduct of all the different support you get from kids, from parents, and from community members.
Yeah, it's a team effort, as they say. Steve Steele on the line with us. They won the 11-2A championship there in South Dakota last year. Let's just talk a little bit about, you know, beyond just, you know, what you did at the start there, because you can't get it done without a coaching staff, right? You got to have good guys. You get all the interviews, you get all the accolades, but at the same time, you need some people to do that. So let's get some names in here about your coaches and how you put the staff together. I would assume in a small town, you probably have a few guys that maybe played for the governors along the way.
Yeah, and you know, that's been the biggest blessing, and that's something as a first-time head coach. You know, I didn't necessarily know what I was getting right away. You know, most all of our staff had been here when I got here. There was a couple that came in with me. And then, you know, you just don't realize how important and what a blessing it is to have not just great assistant coaches, but such a good blend of personalities. And, you know, and over the last 8 years, you've seen how important that blend is so that you have the opportunities to reach every personality a kid on your team might have. And, you know, our defensive coordinator when I got here was Sean Lewis, and he's a tremendous wrestling coach. You know, he's built this into such a powerhouse of a wrestling school as well. And then he'd kind of stepped away the last couple years to enjoy his kids. He had a son that was a senior, Trey, on this last year's team, and he wanted to be able to enjoy those last couple years as a dad, and that was a great experience for him. And, you know, I think Matt Thorson was our guy that stepped in to fill that void, and he has just been absolutely incredible. He's an up-and-coming guy, and you know he's going to be a really, really successful head coach someday when he finds the right opportunity that he wants. And I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, we're really excited and fortunate for all of our coaches that, you know, they do a great job while they're here working for us. But ultimately, you want to see them achieve their career goals too. And you know, someday he's going to be one that's going to be a fantastic head coach in his own right. You know, Dan Machachok's a guy that moved to town couple years ago. He was a head coach out in the western part of the state, and one of those kind of underappreciated, underknown names that has come here and just made a world of difference in 2 years, and just really relating to kids and just being an ear for them. Scott Nye's another one. He's been our offensive line guy the whole time that I've been here, and in the few years prior. And you know, that's probably, you know, I think any offensive coordinator would tell you that's the most important position coach on the offensive side of the ball. Just because they can, you know, if you have a good quarterback, if you don't have a line, they're not a good quarterback. If you have a bad quarterback, but you have a really good offensive line, they can still be a good quarterback. So, I mean, he's just done an incredible job finding ways to piece together lines at times with injuries and always building that depth for the future. So, I mean, you know, those are some of our mainstays that have been here for a long time. Adam Spohr's done a great job in our weight room, really transforming the culture of that side of things. And, you know, we've just been very, very blessed to have great coaches that work hard and pretty good continuity over the time I've been here.
Going to get some kids in by name here, but before we go there, talk about what you have to do every year during a streak, right? You got to get the kids focused, you know, get their heads out of that championship cloud and bring them back down. You're going to do that going into 2024, right, as you go for a number 8 in a row there. Tell me a little bit about what you and the staff did last year to get this team prepped up for number 7, which I guess is a state record too for you guys there in South Dakota.
Yeah, it was, and that was a pretty incredible realization when we got that one done, and you kind of sit back and realize, wow, no one else has achieved this. And then you think of all the people that have gotten to be a part of it and all the work that's gone into it. And, you know, we've had some pretty incredible athletes along that way, too. I mean, Lincoln Keenholtz was our quarterback for 3 of those. He's at Ohio State right now. You know, we've had a full family of Zabel brothers come through, from Peyton, who was the first quarterback to help us win, to Gray, who's now, he's going to be in his last year at North Dakota State this coming season. And then his brother Jet's a senior this year that just played his last season for us and is going to go join Gray at North Dakota State next year for one season before Gray graduates. And we've just had such a phenomenal run of athletes too, and kids that want to work hard and want to be coached. And I think that's what's made the job of resetting easier. It's not easy, but easier is just you have kids that do have that internal drive. They want to be coached and they want feedback, and they just can't get enough at times. You know, they want to compete all the time. And, you know, especially in a smaller community like this where, you know, we don't play football all year round. You know, we don't have spring ball formally here. We don't have indoor training and a lot of those things that a lot of places do have. And for our kids to still have that buy-in and that just constant awareness of what they need to be doing for next season, whether that's competing in basketball or wrestling or track or just being in the weight room or attending some different clinics and camps to get better. Our kids do that, and our parents support that, and that's just what makes things special, and it makes our job as coaches a little bit easier as we're trying to reset and refocus for that next one.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Coach Steele on the line right now. Pierre T.F. Riggs High School, 7 straight state championships there in the state. And Coach, let's get some. You mentioned some of the kids that have been there through the journey of 7 years. Let's get some of the leadership from last year onto the show here by name. As I've said to all of the coaches I've talked to here on Championship Chat, I'd like to give you the opportunity to do whatever the size of the roster is, but we can't do that. So I'm going to, you know, force you to break it down a little bit and get as many kids in as you can and give them the platitudes they deserve.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the first one that comes to mind this past year, I mean, like I said, we had Lincoln Keenholz, who was Ohio State quarterback for that graduated prior to this last season, you know, a talent that we'd never seen before. And you know, someone had to step into those shoes. And we didn't have a true quarterback prospect. So, you know, Cade Kaiser had been a 2-year starting receiver for us his sophomore and junior year. He was kind of the quarterback of that grade growing up, you know, through YMCA football and into middle school. And he was a kid that wanted that role. And he knew in college he wasn't going to be a quarterback. He's going to go play wide receiver at Northern State up in Aberdeen, South Dakota. But he was a guy that was ready and wanted that responsibility and wanted to be the person that helped to guide us to number 7. And, you know, he just did such an incredible job. You know, a big concern we had as a coaching staff was, you know, whoever this next quarterback was going to be, we didn't want someone that was going to try and be Lincoln, you know, try and be our previous quarterback. And Cade was just so tremendous at being himself, focusing on the strengths he had, you know, making those into his game and his play style and, you know, not trying to do too much, but, you know, making sure that he was really cerebral at getting us into the right spots and right calls and right directions and all that. And he just was so incredible for that offensive side of the football this season and just so proud of someone willing to take that leap and get out of their comfort zone, you know, of their position and go to do something for the betterment of the team. You know, so I would say Cade comes to mind first. Trey Lewis, again, was another one defensively in that side that just really took over the mentality of the defense. We had a very, very physical football team this year, one of the few teams that wanted to go full pads every day if they could have. You know, we would have went full pad on Thursday walkthrough if the coaches would have allowed them because they loved contact and they wanted to be aggressive and they wanted to hit. And they had so much fun when they were doing that. And Trey was a very, very big part of that culture on that side of the ball. Just, again, always making sure people were in the right spot and making sure their default was aggressive, you know. And him and Chance Sarda were two of our linebackers, and they were just default aggressive to the 100th degree. They loved contact. They loved to hit. And Emmett Anderson was another one. Lucas Chamberlain was another one. We had so many guys that in that front 7 that just wanted to go and make contact. And when you have that many guys that like and enjoy and crave contact almost, it really makes the personality of your defense one that not many teams look forward to playing against. So, you know, I'm very, very proud of that unit, especially this year, knowing what we were losing on offense and, you know, kind of having to really take the lead as the offense got their feet under them to start the season. So really, really great group of guys, really fun class of seniors that we're going to miss.
I during the research, I read that you guys like to have some special things happening with your championship rings, and you've gotten good at designing, I would think. To tell the people about that, is that true, or did I just read that's a fairy tale, fake news, or do you really have really cool championship rings?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone thinks the rings are always cool, you know, and that's one of the things that our seniors get the opportunity to do is to kind of choose and see what they want on there. And just kind of pick, you know, and I think that the thing that our coaches do is, you know, we kind of try and set a theme for every season that we think might be motivating or describe that year's team in particular. And, you know, this year was Become the Mountain. You know, no one had done 7 in a row. So, you know, that was kind of the rallying cry we've built this season around was, you know, hey, we want to be that mountain. We want to be the first to be the tallest, you know, mountain in the state history. And the kids really bought into that, and that was one of the things they wanted included on the ring was they wanted the mountain that we built on that ring, and it was a really turned out to be such an incredible piece to add to the collection for these kids.
Nice, nice, nice. Talking with Steve Steele here, TF Riggs High School in South Dakota, 7 straight state championships. And before we get into the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Coaching Academy, I want to take a little forward look. Do you have a theme yet for 2024? And what are you doing to get ready for number 8?
I think we are pretty close to a theme. We always announce that at our we actually take our team camping the first 3 days of organized practice, and that's kind of the big reveal where all the kids cool. are looking forward to what it's going to be and what our challenge is going to be. So I can't completely release that, but we're pretty comfortable with what it's going to be, and we think it'll be very motivating for what we see in this next year's group. And again, I think this next year's group is one that, you know, you're going to be able to look at us and say, hey, they shouldn't win it this year because they lost so much. And, you know, that's been kind of a fun thing for us, and, you know, over this run was to look at all of our seniors and be like, hey, this is what's out there. You know, what are you going to do about it? You know, do you want to agree with that, or do you want to, you know, fight back and see if we can get there in time for the end? And, you know, I think, you know, focusing on that growth and progress and not trying to necessarily be perfect right away, because you've got to do enough to get yourself into the playoffs and hopefully in a good path. But realistically, in South Dakota, if you save your best three for the end, you're in good shape. So I think we've got a pretty good roadmap to that, and I think we've got a lot of kids that are into that.
Should be fun to watch. Steve Steele on the line here. And before you get into 2024, in about, what do we got here? A couple of days, right? May 6th, I think it starts. Ah. Maybe you're on the way to the airport now as we talk. I don't know. But anyway, you are going to the first Tampa Bay Buccaneers National Coaching Academy. 1,500 applicants applied. 25 coaches are going. Only 6 from the high school ranks will be there the 6th of May through the 12th. Tell me about that. I mean, you have got to be so jacked about that.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those just crazy opportunities that, you know, you never necessarily imagine yourself, no matter what happens, you know, getting an opportunity to do something with a real NFL team. You know, I think that's something you grow up as a kid, you love sports, or you coach, you go and you buy, you know, a t-shirt from a company or from a team, sorry, and you think that would be really cool to wear this for real one day, and then kind of just, you know, realizing that, you know, it's only a week, but I mean, man, you're going to get to wear a Buccaneers t-shirt and work with Buccaneers players and coaches, you know, and it's going to be such an incredible experience. You know, I'm very thankful for this program, and I'm just really excited to go and take in everything we can take in and learn as much as I can possibly learn to bring back here and hopefully use that to go get number 8.
Yeah, I can't even imagine how much fun you're going to have there for a week with the Bucs. That should be very, very cool. Well, Coach, congratulations on the success that you've had there. Congratulations on to you and your staff for all you do for the kids and the community there. That's very, very important. And we wish you nothing but the best of success. Seeing if you can make 8 be great, right? That's probably somewhere around where you're going as you think about your slogan there for the year ahead. But thanks for taking the time with us.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it. Again, thanks for all you do for high school football in this country.
And that's the High School Football America podcast, brought to you by NFL Play Football. Hey, coaches, don't forget to check out playfootball.nfl.com for some great resources to help you improve in the coaching profession. I'm Jeff Fisher, and you've been listening to the High School Football America podcast.